for a reading, first of all, in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, I want us to take four short readings in the Word of God this evening, and really what I want to speak on this evening is just triplets of truth, we could call it. Just simple triplets of truth that will take us to the gospel message and to see the words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning salvation. The first one was the words of the Apostle Paul, and then we want to see three from the Savior himself. But if you just keep that in mind, triplets of truth, as we go through the message this evening, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. Galatians 3 and verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And the first one there, it's all under sin. The first triplet that we will consider this evening is all under sin. And then if you want to come back with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, and we'll see this second little triplet. And this time we're going to see the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, a verse of Scripture that will be familiar to many of us here this evening. John 19 and verse 30. And now we're at Calvary, as it were. We read in John 19 and verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And it's those three words, "It is finished." And then if you want to come back to Matthew chapter 11 for our third reading and our third little triplet. And again this time we'll see the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. All under sin, it is finished. And then in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And there we have our third little triplet, "Come unto me." And then our final reading this evening, apologies for making you turn so many places, is Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to read the second last verse in the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. All under sin, it is finished. Come unto me. And then Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. He, and that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." And there our fourth little triplet, "I come quickly." And we trust the Lord will bless these portions of Scripture to our hearts as we seek to just think about triplets of truth this evening in the Gospel. You know, we read there in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, it said, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." We want just to put that title upon our first little triplet this evening, Scripture's Conclusion. This is not man's conclusion this evening. This is not my conclusion. This is no conclusion of a gathering of people. But rather, this is Scripture's conclusion, all under sin. And you know, whenever we think of that word conclusion, it really gives our mind to something of finality. The best way that we could illustrate this is if you were to imagine a scene in the courts. And there in the courts we have the jury. We've got those from the public that have come in. There we have the person that is being accused sitting in the dock. We've got the person sitting to the other side of them, perhaps the one who has brought the charge. And then sitting elevated in the platform, we have the one with the authority, the judge. And perhaps we're coming to the end of the court scene, and the individual that is being prosecuted is sitting in the docks, and the moment has come for the verdict, and it's all peace and quiet. Everyone's got their eyes upon the judge. And in the silence, he thunders forth the judgment, guilty, and he slams down his hammer. And at that point, the conclusion of the case, the conclusion of the jury's decision has been sealed. That individual that is being prosecuted has been sealed as guilty. No second chances, no reversal of the decision, but guilty. And you know, really, if we were to think of that scene, really, that is what the Apostle Paul done in the book of Romans. As you read through Romans chapter 1, 2 and 3, you will find that that is really a picture of a court scene. And during those three chapters, the Apostle Paul in chapter 1, first of all, he takes all the evidence and he assesses what we could call the ungodly man. And there he assesses the ungodly man, the person that is disobedient to parents, backbiters, haters of God, and so forth. And really, as he goes down and he assesses the ungodly man, his conclusion is this, that they are without excuse. Romans chapter 1 tells us that creation itself leaves man without excuse, for that in itself is a demonstrator, or it proves or it illustrates to our eyes the very existence and the power of God. And Paul in Romans chapter 1, he assesses the ungodly man, and his conclusion is that he is without excuse. Then he goes on in chapter 2 and he assesses what we could call the moral, upright individual. That individual who abides by the law, perhaps does charity work, perhaps does good. Nobody has a bad word to say about them. And yet Paul's verdict about the righteous, morally upstanding man is this: thou art inexcusable, O man. You see, here was a morally upright man, did not get involved in any of the acts of the ungodly, and yet he rejected the same light. He assesses the ungodly man, he assesses the morally upright man, then he comes and he assesses the Jew. And he speaks in this, Romans chapter 3, and he assesses the Jew. He speaks about all the blessings and all the privileges that a Jew would have had. And yet, he finds them guilty. You know, Romans 3 tells us whether we are Jew, whether we are Gentile, we are all under sin. And you see, if we take that for perspective of what the Apostle Paul does, we could say this evening, none of us are Jews, but concerning what he spoke about the Jews, he spoke about their privileges and their blessings. And you see, perhaps there's many, or some, or one in this meeting tonight, and you're like the Jew. You've had the blessings and privileges of sitting under gospel messages. You've had the privilege of perhaps being brought up in a godly home. And yet tonight you still find yourself under sin. Perhaps you're the moral upstanding man in society. Nobody has a bad word to say about you. But yet, you're not saved. And you see, dear friends, this evening, if you have not come and put your trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture's conclusion is simple. All under sin. And you know, as we think of that statement, perhaps many, even in society today, will try to deny the very existence of God. They will try to tarnish the Word of God. And they will say, well, that says Scripture's conclusion. It doesn't impact me because it's only a history book. Or perhaps it's not worth listening to. But you know, I want you to see a couple of things that would really affirm to us this evening that Scripture's conclusion is to be adhered to. The very first thing that we could think about is this: the authority of Scripture. The Apostle Paul said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What this means is Scripture is God-breathed. You know, God by the Holy Spirit moved men to pen the Scriptures. It's interesting if you were to take a bit of time and to think of the Word of God over the period of time upon which it was written, and to think of how many different authors that penned different books, around 40, different backgrounds. And yet as these men were moved by the Holy Spirit, we see one constant theme, and that's Christ. And the authority of Scripture itself, that it is God-breathed, it's the very Word of God itself, is enough for us, dear friends, to arrive at the conclusion that we must adhere to Scripture. And when it says all under sin, in fact, all are under sin. Perhaps not just the authority of Scripture, that it is God's Word, perhaps that would not satisfy you this evening. But secondly, we could think of the prophecy of Scripture. The prophecy of Scripture is one of the tremendous things that we could think about this evening that would prove to us that the Word of God is dependable. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, it spoke about in the prophecy of Micah concerning where He would be born. Isaiah spoke about how He would be born. And even if you were this evening just to read Matthew chapter 1 and identify how many times the author says that the Scripture might be fulfilled, you would find it many times concerning where He would be born, how He would be born, how that even under the reign of Herod, when he decided that all boys under the age of 2 would be killed, how that the Lord Jesus Christ would go down to Egypt, how He would come out of Nazarene, the place of Nazareth. And you see, concerning His birth, in the very early stages of His life, Scripture itself had prophesied it. Not even concerning His birth, we could think of His death. Psalm 22, the chapter concerning Calvary, where crucifixion was spoken of before it was even invented by the Romans, where the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, with His hands being nailed and His feet being nailed to the cross, was spoken about approximately 1,000 years before He actually died. You know, the Word of God and all the prophecies that are contained therein should be enough for us to know that the Word of God is dependable. And so Scripture's conclusion is dependable not just because of the authority of Scripture, it's God's Word, but prophetically because God has spoken many things that have come to pass. And thirdly, we could even think of Scripture's dependability from the side or the view just simply about the power of Scripture. You know, it's a wonderful thing when a soul gets saved. No matter what their background, no matter where they've come from, it's a tremendous thing. It's a miracle of God that a soul, that an individual is born again of the Spirit of God. And the very power of Scripture being proved in an individual's life is enough to show that the Word of God is true. You know, you could think perhaps a number of weeks ago, me and Rebecca, we were hearing the testimony of a brother saved many years ago. And he spoke about the school in which he was brought up in, and in his classroom he was always sitting beside a guy in the class who he described as timid, and he said he was the sort of boy that if you asked him a question, his face would have turned red. He was the sort of boy, if you threw a ball at him, he would have dropped it and got all flustered. And yet he said one day, a number of months into the school year, they were all just gathered in one of the classrooms before class. And they were all in their wee huddles of groups, standing there, talking away. And then this young man, he came in. He set a school bag on the desk and he went up to the front. He took the duster. He tapped it on the table and everyone turned around and listened to him. And he said, "I want you all to know that I've become a Christian." And you know, if you think just of here was a young man that was timid, that would have been embarrassed to speak out, and yet the very power of Scripture in his life gave him the confidence to stand in front of a classroom, perhaps those who would mock him, perhaps those who would poke fun at him, and yet he was willing to stand up there and tell them how the Lord had saved him. You see, that's the power of Scripture tonight. And this evening, dear friends, Scripture's conclusion is this: all under sin. And if you're not saved this evening, it's something of finality. All under sin will not change unless we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is willing to save and is mighty to save this evening. And so first of all, we can see Scripture's conclusion: all under sin. But then I want you to think of that second little triplet that we read this evening. We would just call that salvation is complete. We read there in John chapter 19 and verse 30 the words of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross when he said, "It is finished." And you know, one of the things, if we take even just briefly the last three readings that we took together, why is salvation complete? Because Christ said it is finished. Why is salvation, dear friends, this evening possible for us? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me." And we could say, why is salvation satisfying tonight? Why does salvation give the saint of God hope tonight? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I come quickly." And you can see the words of the Savior penned in the Word of God. If we think that we have, in a sense, tried to establish how we can have comfort from the Word of God, well, it's tremendous to think of these precious words that the Savior uttered, and let them take hold of us this evening. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ there on Calvary's tree, it says that he cried out, "It is finished." And you know, one of the reasons why those words of the Savior find so much power and find so much comfort and find so much enjoyment for the believer is this. We would take our minds back to John chapter 1. And there we find concerning Christ, it says, "And the Word became flesh." And that's important for us to grasp this evening. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ had never became flesh, if the Lord Jesus Christ had never come into this scene of time, our salvation that we enjoy, the eternal salvation that we preach in the gospel, would not be possible. You see, the very fact that the Word became flesh was fundamental and significant and important for us to know what salvation is. You see, if the Lord Jesus Christ had not become flesh, he would not have had a body in which he could have died. If the Lord Jesus Christ had not become flesh, he could not have shed precious blood upon Calvary's tree. And you know, Hebrews reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And you see, dear friends, this evening, it's important for us to remember, it's important for us to grasp the very importance of Christ coming into this world. For had he not come, Calvary would not have been possible. And had he not come and lived a perfect life upon this earth, Calvary itself would have no value. And one of the things this evening, and one of the reasons why we can rejoice in Calvary and all its fullness, is because Christ was the perfect Lamb of God. The unspotted, perfect, unblemished Lamb of God, who could die on Calvary's tree, who could satisfy the demands of a righteous God, so that all who are under sin this evening could be gloriously saved. And when we think of Christ on Calvary, and we think of that little verse that we read there in John chapter 19 and verse 30, one of the great things that we can consider from it is this: it shows us very much who the work of Christ and the power of God in the very act of Calvary itself. You know, whenever we think, if we were to read in Luke's account, there we would read that the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." There in John 19 we read that when he had cried, "It is finished," he gave up the ghost. And you see, one of the significant things for us to grasp from that this evening is this: that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I have power to lay it down," concerning his life. He had the power to lay it down. He said, "No man taketh it from me. And you see the Lord Jesus Christ saying those very words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, are enough for us to see Christ working in God's purpose to offer salvation through his death. Not because man was going to take his life, but because Christ, the good shepherd, was willing to lay his life down, a ransom for all. And you know, that's why we read later on in John's account, if you take your eyes to Calvary, and there you see Christ on the middle cross, the malefactor on one side, the malefactor on the other. And we see as the soldiers come to break the legs of those upon the cross, they come to the two soldiers and they break their legs, but when they come to Christ, not only do they not break his legs because he was already dead, but they do not break his legs so that Scripture itself might be fulfilled. And there we see Christ's words, no man taketh it from me. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. There we see at Calvary, Christ laying down his life. And because of that, we can take tremendous comfort this evening that Christ cried out, it is finished. He knew that he had satisfied God's demands for sin. He knew that he had paid the penalty on our behalf. And so he could cry out that cry of victory, it is finished. And you know, dear friends, this evening we find great hope and great comfort in Christ's cry of finished, because the Scripture tells us that on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And if ever we were going to see God's seal of approval and God's hand demonstrating that salvation was made possible and Calvary was acceptable, is this, that God raised him from the dead. So this evening, Christ, by dying on Calvary's tree, Christ, by finishing the work, God, by accepting the payment and raising him from the dead, dear friends, this evening, we can rest upon it in our hope. You see, Scripture's conclusion is this, all under sin. But salvation is complete because Christ cried out, it is finished. And you know, we just go on to our third little triplet this evening, because perhaps you're in this meeting and you're not saved. Scripture says you're under sin. Scripture tells you that it's possible for you to be saved from your sin this evening because Christ said it is finished. But you see, I just want you to think for a little moment or two about the Saviour's call. The Saviour's call. There in Matthew 11, he simply said this, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Saviour's call this evening to the soul outside of Christ is personal. He doesn't say for a group, but he simply says to you individually this evening, come unto me. That was the invitation that Noah and his family received concerning the ark. After Noah had labored for 120 years building the ark, there in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1 we read, come thou and thy family into the ark. See, this evening God does not press salvation upon you, but he comes with the personal invitation and he offers it to you, come unto me. Come unto me. You see, tonight, dear friends, salvation is between you and God. It's not between you and the preacher. It's not between you and the person beside you. Salvation is between you and God. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ gives the personal invitation, come unto me. One of the things that will mark every testimony and every individual that is saved is this. It's the very fact that the burden of sin and the conviction of sin upon the soul will lead them to cry out in repentance. You see, there, that verse in Matthew 11, it says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Perhaps tonight, dear friend, the burden of sin is weighing upon your shoulders. You recognise that inside of and before a holy God, your sin has separated you from God. And the Spirit of God is convicting you. And the Spirit of God is telling you that you need to be saved. And perhaps like the psalmist David, he said in Psalm 38 and verse 4, "Mine iniquities are gone over my head, and they are too heavy a burden for me." Perhaps, dear friends, this evening your sin feels like it's weighing you down. Perhaps sleepless nights in a past week have been your problem. Constantly thinking about your sin, constantly thinking about the burden of sin, constantly thinking that you need to be saved. Well, dear friends, tonight the Saviour simply cries out to you, "Call unto me." He says, "I will give you rest." One of the great things about salvation is this, that it's free. The Lord doesn't say, "Come unto me with all your works." He doesn't say, "Come unto me with all your money." He just simply says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Undeserved, unmerited. But you see, whenever you come, you repent of your sins, recognizing that Christ has finished the work, recognizing that you're under sin and you need to be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ will give you rest. The burden of sin will be lifted, never to be brought before you again. Perhaps the restlessness in your soul will be removed because the peace of God will rest upon you. And you will enjoy the fact that you've come into the good of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, salvation's conclusion is this: all under sin. Salvation is complete because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." The Saviour's call to the sinner tonight is, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." And then there we read in Revelation chapter 22, the second last verse of the Word of God, we read the Saviour's words when he said, "I come quickly. I come quickly." And I just called that this evening the sweet comfort or a sad coming. A sweet comfort or a sad coming. You see, the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I come quickly" or "I come soon," is a sweet comfort to every believer in this meeting. To everyone in this meeting that has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, resting on the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again, it's a sweet comfort to our soul. And you know, as week by week, and perhaps the weeks seem to go quicker, before we know it, it's a Monday morning, and then before we know it, it's the weekend, and it's all going by quicker than it ever seemed to go. And yet, dear friends, for the believer this evening, as the weeks go by and the hours and days and months go by ever so quickly, we have that sweet comfort that the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ is nearer than ever before. What a sweet comfort for the believer tonight to know that Christ came the first time, and because of that we were gloriously saved because he went to the place called Calvary. And yet we know, because Christ came the first time, as he said he would, we can rest upon the promise that Christ will come again, as he has also said he would. You know, we want to ask yourselves this question to you tonight. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, will it be a sweet comfort to know that you will be with your Saviour for all eternity? Or will we class it as a sad coming? Why would we say it's a sad coming? Because Christ will come to the earth for those that are in Christ. Those that are in Christ. Dear friends, if Christ comes to the earth for all those that are in Christ, if you're not saved this evening, he won't be coming for you. That's why it would be a sad coming. A sad coming to know that you were left behind. You had the offer of salvation, that it had gone forth. You knew you needed to be saved. You knew you could be saved. You knew how to be saved. But you weren't saved. What a tragedy it would be, dear friends, to know that it was a sad coming when Christ came for those in Christ, and you were not found amongst the gathering. You see, the Word of God says in John 3 and 16, that verse that we know so well, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. And really, if we see the negative in that, whosoever believeth not on Him shall perish. You see, dear friends, this evening, if you're not saved, the Bible says that you shall perish. What does that mean? It simply means this, that you will be destitute, you will be cut off, you will be separated from the love of God and from God Himself for all eternity. And really, that would be a tremendous tragedy this evening, to be cut off for all eternity without Christ. Not because it was not possible for you to be saved, but because you heard that Christ died for you, Christ died for your sins. You knew you could be saved. You knew you could come into the goodness of Christ and His love by repenting of your sins and believing in Him. And yet, because of your rejection of Him, you find yourself without Christ. And so, dear friends, this evening, we just want to leave those triplets of truth with you. Scripture's conclusion, all under sin. Salvation's completion, it is finished. The Saviour's call, come unto me. And the sweet comfort or a sad coming, which will it be? Christ said, I come quickly or I come soon. And dear friends, are you in anticipation of that day? Because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And so we trust, dear friends, this evening that you would take that personal invitation from God and come unto Him and find everlasting rest in the arms of the Saviour. Perhaps we'll stop.